We are joined by Jeff O'Brien. He is the lawyer, the attorney, the barrister extraordinaire from Chestnut Cambrone. And Jeff, I got to tell you, I thought I had seen not everything, but just about everything out of the mayor of Minneapolis, Jacob Frey, with his behavior and how I believe he enabled, empowered, and emboldened so many of these protests around the country by not doing anything the first few nights that there was, not protesting, but unrest, the rioting, the looting, the burnings. And I was wrong, I think, because this mayor in Seattle, was it Jenny Durbin?
Durkin.
Whatever, Jenny, to me, it's idiotic what she's doing. She has given away basically downtown Seattle. It's now called CHAZ, and I have not spent the time memorizing what it stands for, but it's absurd. They've given that part, this precinct in there, the police precinct, is now, they typed over or wrote over police and call it people precinct. These people are crazy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was almost like they were getting jealous of how crazy Minneapolis was becoming. So it was like, here, hold my beer. Yeah. Let's create an autonomous. I think if I recall right, it's the area where this is located is actually Capitol Hill. It was known as Capitol Hill.
That's right. Yep.
So it's the Capitol Hill Autonomous Zone is how you get to CHAZ.
And there have been reports from the police chief that there have been horrible things happening in this zone. The mayor says it could be the summer of love, and she's saying it's like a festival. Well, I don't call anything a festival where there's accusations of rape, of extortion. They're stopping people trying to get in the zone, and they're doing their own stop and frisk. They are behaving, obviously, worse than police if you're having extortion going on and rape. I mean, how does this mayor allow this to continue when there is criminal activity within this zone?
You got me, Bob. I don't understand how does the mayor and the governor in Minnesota allow Lake Street to be burned down? I mean, I don't know why we have such a tolerance for lawlessness. The Constitution or the Supreme Court's been clear. Yes, everybody has First Amendment rights to assemble and speak, but when it turns violent, that's not protected speech. So I don't know why all of this nonsense is not considered, is why they aren't going after it. But, I don't know what the next thing is. I did see something about the CHAZ. Supposedly, first of all, they're wiring, they're putting a list together of supplies they need from the outside capitalist world.
That's right. They want to send in. And
yep,
they have a long list of demands, and among them, they want free college. They want free health care. I mean, they want everything to be free. And I've been seeing these memes, Jeff, and you probably have too. This is what happens when, you give away participation trophies to kids. Because these kids are, these people now in the CHAZ zone or this CHAZ area are of the age that had participation trophies. And they think everything should be given to them. And that was the mistake. I never believed in the whole participation trophy thing. I coach youth teams. And even the kids where I was, they were keeping score. We were not supposed to keep score. They knew who had more goals in soccer. It's absurd.
The only participation trophies I have are from my team, my little league team finishing second place twice, and a tournament trophy where we finished third place because we achieved something. And I was part of the team that achieved something. That's about the only participation trophy I ever received.
Wait a minute, Jeff. You mean they didn't say, all the coaches in the group that put it on didn't say you all tied for first?
No.
I'm shocked.
They did not. Yeah. In fact, my dad was my manager for my last 2 years of Little League, and because there were better players than I was, I played the minimum sometimes of two innings and batted once. He wasn't giving favoritism to his own kid. And someone says, how do you feel about that? I said, I've got trophies. Our team did really well because my father didn't favor his kid over better players. He and I laugh about it now, kind of smiles when I say it. But, this goes back to those old Occupy Wall Street protests that happened, 10 years ago, and nobody did anything about it. And I think it's relevant to the current presidential race because the guy running as a Democrat, now is the Democrat nominee, Joe Biden, was vice president in an administration that encouraged this type of behavior. It was always, you were victims, so you were right to show your anger because society had wronged you. And, that's not the message to send.
No, and Jeff, I'm glad you brought that up about Biden and Trump, because every poll now has Biden with a wide 7 points. Some had him in double digits. How can anyone believe a poll? Why do polls even exist after what happened in 2016? They were shown to be slanted and meaningless. The outcome had nothing to do, obviously. Hillary was supposed to destroy Trump, and it didn't happen. I just don't understand how they can say, well, this poll says they don't have any merit or meaning.
I don't doubt that if you poll, you know, the electorate that, you know, Biden may outpoll Trump. But what the biggest factor that you consistently see in these polls is that they call it the enthusiasm gap, is that Trump supporters are very motivated to go out and vote for him. So we're sitting here, you're 5 months out, you know, you've got this whole fight over, you know, mailing in ballots and showing up to vote, you know, with the virus. And there's a good chance, I think, that, you know, that the Trump team will have their people turn out. That's what I just saw a story about, this rally he's holding next Saturday in Oklahoma. They have 800,000 ticket requests. And you know what they do with those ticket requests, Bob? That's data mining. They put together the list of their supporters and make sure that they get, make sure they're getting to the polls or getting absentee ballots. This has been why he's been off his game for 2.5-3 months, because he wasn't able to do those rallies, which the underlying point of those rallies is possibly one of the greatest digital get out the vote efforts in presidential history. Well, and that's what I think the Democrats and the media are worried about, him refiring these rallies. It's not about the virus. It's because that's his key to victory.
And it feeds the beast. His ego needs to be fed, and that feeds it in a big way, the rallies, because he gets so much adulation. I don't know how history will record him, but no lifetime has experienced the president like him. And I'm not going to knock him, and I'm not going to go overboard with praise, but I am concerned about Biden because he is having cognitive issues. Every time he speaks, and the smart thing is, a few weeks ago, they put him in front of a teleprompter. Without the teleprompter, that's where he just loses his way.
Right. There was the clip last week where he was stumbling. He lost his, I think you posted it on Twitter, where he just forgot what he was saying. And then he went on to say that George Floyd's death was more consequential than Martin Luther King Jr.
And yes, he did.
You couldn't tell which was the most unfortunate statement that came out of his mouth.
Gibberish or that? I'm not going to go off on a tangent about him, but the most important thing, and I'm wondering, why is he waiting? He needs to name, because his vice presidential candidate will be the president. And I'm not saying I'm not saying he's going to die in office, but I think the Democrats may invoke the 25th Amendment as quickly as they can. Everyone knows in that party, the leadership, that the VP is likely to become president. And, I mean, and that VP could then have, I don't know how that works. If you are put into the position of president because the current president is incapacitated in some way, you can run for two of your own terms. So you could potentially have someone in there for nearly 12 years, right?
Yeah. Yes.
Well, Kamala Harris, I think she's the one he's going to name. I just can't imagine anyone else.
The hard thing is, though, with Kamala Harris, and this is Joe Biden's problem, too. Joe Biden is the very proud author of the 1994 crime bill that incarcerated a lot of African-Americans for minor crimes. And a lot of those, and President Trump undid some of those issues with his criminal justice reform last year. So, and she was Harris was a prosecutor. So you're sitting here in an environment where you have Black Lives Matter and you have a lot of African-Americans in the wake of these police shootings concerned about, unjustified prosecutions. I think that's part of what bounced Amy off the list was, Amy Klobuchar, was her friendliness towards, you know, not prosecuting cops.
Chauvin. Chauvin.
But there were a few other instances where she declined to prosecute officer-involved shootings. And I think that's what doomed her. You know, I think – I forgot who said it, that, Harris and Biden together are not a good team if you're trying to court the – this, you know, if you're trying to grab onto this movement in the wake of George Floyd's killing, having the guy who wrote the crime bill and a former prosecutor that incarcerated a lot of African Americans is not your ticket. And that's their fundamental problem, is you have
then who do they name? Stacey Abrams?
Huh?
Who do they name? Stacey Abrams? Who? I still don't know what her accomplishment is.
There isn't an accomplishment. I don't know who he names. I heard Elizabeth Warren is still on the under consideration. Val Deming is a congresswoman from Florida who's a former, I believe, a former police chief. You know, this is the problem. He's damned if he does, and he's damned if he doesn't.
Well, the one that would help him the most, based on what you say, you're talking about, would be Elizabeth Warren, because she wants to give things to everybody. She wants to give what this group, this Chaz group, wants. Free this, free that.
Right. Her problem is, if you're looking at his vice president can't nominee as the next president, if he does get 25th amendmented, probably her unlikability ranks up there with Hillary Clinton. She's not a likable human being.
Well, and I think there's intense pressure now for him to name an African-American as his running mate. And
absolutely,
he should.
Absolutely. The problem is the ones he's usually picking are somehow were more of his more moderate Democrat mold, or have a background that is anathema to the Bernie supporters. And it's just this is his problem. If he pulls further to the left, it benefits Trump. If he pulls further into the middle, he stands to alienate the Bernie supporters.
Well, you know what, though, Jeff?
They vote green or they stay home.
Just this conversation has convinced me, or is convincing me, that Stacey Abrams might be the safest pick for him, because nobody knows about her, or most people don't know about her, what she believes in, what she stands for, and the media will not dig deep. If they find anything bad, they're going to overlook it. They're not going to make her look bad. They're going to just build her up as being the superstar. So maybe she will but be. She might wind up being
she couldn't,
his pick.
Yeah. I've heard, though, she's even said in interviews that she has been told she's not being vetted. So all reports that I've seen indicate that she is not being looked at as
maybe they're saving her
nominee.
For as the last one to be vetted, if that's the one they like. I don't know. Well, it's going to be interesting.
I think it hurt. I mean, if she had won the governorship of Georgia, that would be a different story.
Absolutely.
But she didn't.
Yeah, she's like Beto O'Rourke in that regard. You know, there's not much that she wound up losing. So, well, Jeff, as always, Jeff O'Brien from Chestnut Cambrone, greatly appreciate you taking the time. And we'll take a quick break, and the BS show will be right back.